Okay, God's word today is Isaiah 9, 1 to 7, which is actually hope in the Messiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment he rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, and for forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Good stuff. Thank you for inviting me to preach again today in the absence of my friend Barry. Actually, I don't need a welcome to this church. I'm a member. And when I think about it, I was a member of this church in 1968. I was invited by the Wollongong and Warrawong congregations to be the minister at the new Dapto Church of Christ. Sounded very exciting. New community, Kanahooka Road, right beside the lake. Well, you sort of had lake glimpses if you stood on the top of the hill. They didn't tell me it was in a farmyard and next to the cemetery. But that was where we met, in a home. And they were great times. So technically, and I used to preach every now and then when David Mansell was on one of his world preaching tours, as he was, in the Wollongong Church. And so the community was great. There's a great... I mean, tradition isn't everything, but it's something really important. So I feel very much part of this community. We take light for granted. What a passage. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Now, I was never one for going into... There's a thing called a concordance, which I'd never heard of till I went to theological college, because I didn't know much about the Bible. And concordance, I thought, was a car, you know, sort of a brand. And there were a lot of very smart people around me who knew more about the book than I did. And so when you looked at a word, you looked it up in the concordance. And there was Cruden's concordance, which the intellectual heavyweights called crude. Crudens, get it? Gosh, they were funny, those people. And then there was the Strong Concordance, and that's the one they really like. Nowadays, there's a thing called the Google Concordance. So because I'm a tad lazy, when I have to preach on something, and of course the word that stands out of this whole Christmas thing is the light. So what did I do? I went to the old concordance, nothing crude or strong about it, and I googled in the word light. Pachong! Everything went off. So I thought I'd spend the next 20 minutes or so just reading through. And I hate to, this is awful. I hate to tell you this, but You can find sermons in the concordance, and you'll be pleased to know I read none of those. But I did look at a couple of things about light, and there are pages and pages of them. Two that relate to me. About Jesus, it was said in John chapter 1, the light, speaking of Jesus, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, I want you to think about that in the tough times. Jesus is the light. God created the world, and then he said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness. And Jesus spoke a lot about light. Look it up in the concordance. But one of the things I like that he said is, in the same way, let your light, you are the light as well, your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So not only is Jesus the light, but he has given us the light. And we can let that light shine. Now, I don't know about you, but my light's a bit crook some days. You know, like when your battery's going flat. And we kind of take it for granted, light. Here we are. We don't need to have light. We didn't need to have the fans on. But we don't need light in this building. But we use it. And we take it for granted. These people didn't. You know, how did they deal without air conditioning and light and TV? My goodness. So when the darkness came, it was dark. And they needed to make a proactive measure towards putting the light. And so the Bible talks about the oil lamps. And we take it for granted. I was coming home, I fill in on 2GB on Sunday night sometimes, you know that. And I was coming home when Bill Cruz was away 6 months ago or so. And I'm called the B team. B doesn't stand for BASIC, it stands for when the top guy's away, I fill in, which I'm very honoured to do. So I was coming home this Sunday night, and my trip home has to do with getting there, about 20 minutes from the city, and then I go upstairs, kick off the shoes, put the light on, put the telly on, watch the cricket replay or something equally stimulating, grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine, collapse, grab something wholesome like a piece of celery and a Cabanossi stick. Packet of chips, maybe one of Barry's light Cokes, sugarless Cokes. So this Sunday night, I drove up the Spit Bridge around the corner, and it was dark. Now, it's fairly high up, and you see the lights of the city and stuff like this. But there was nothing in the street. Nothing unusual about that. That can happen. And so I walked up the three flights of stairs with a briefcase, put my key in the door, opened the door and turned the light on, and there was nothing. Now, I get a bit of sort of street light, but there are no street lights either coming through the windows. And this is too strong a word, but I had a sense of anxiety, fear, maybe. But I was out of kilter. I was out of whack. The usual expectation wasn't there, and I had to adapt. And I know there was a torch in the house somewhere, but I found it hard to find. So light is very important to us. I want to say three things this morning about light, and then you can sing on. Hey, that music was super this morning. Couple of old hymns, couple of rock and rollers, all about God. I love it. So my sermon, three things were, there's always three things. Get the light. Can you just take the edge off that sound for me? Bang. Thank you. Stay in the light and share the light. And as I am want to do, I'm going to change that a bit. I'm going to use the last point as the first point. That doesn't mean you go home straight away, but it's important. Share the light. Some of you will know, I grew up not in a Christian family. I grew up with no father. I didn't meet him till I was 34 in America. My mother was a trying hard girl, but as John Steinbeck said, most of men's mental human beings' problems have to do with looking for love in the wrong places, and my mother was like that. Eventually met a guy who was a complete moron, who married her, and he treated her like a princess. Here's a bit of marriage counselling here, men. If you're a moron, and a lot of us are, right, find a woman and treat her like a princess. Now, the women who don't like to be treated like princesses, just bypass them. So I had an Irish grandmother who was powerful. She had 10 children. Only 5 got to adulthood. I mean, we just take things for granted, don't we? That, you know, everything's going to be easy for us. We'll have kids. We'll go to the hospital. We'll bring them home. She didn't bring 10 home. So this was the... I didn't have a grandfather. I think my grandmother killed my first grandfather. Accidentally, of course. She was great at cooking mushrooms, my grandmother. But there was no faith. I think my grandmother probably had, you know, Irish people have always got a faith in something. There's a sort of a magic in them, but there's something very wonderful. I'm very blessed to have had her in my life. So when I decided to, living with my mother this time, to go to church with a guy called Dennis, and because I watched their lives, these people. These were good people. His sister played Chopin. Not so good in those days for me. Well, I was playing the drums. He had a younger sister who was lovely. They were a very straight, godly, righteous family. Her mother was stern. Her father was earnest. But they were solid. And I got to hang around this guy for a while. So I followed him, became a Christian. And through David Mansell putting his hand on my shoulder at Caloundra Beach, where I was last week, said, would you like to go into the ministry? So off I went, not knowing much, getting through. And I'd come home from college to Brisbane, and my grandmother, and she met a guy too who wasn't a moron. He was a wharfie from Bradford Northern in England, and he was very dour. And he'd sit at the table, and I'm giving you a picture about this. The light is coming, but there wasn't much light in him. His name was Bert. And the only time I saw him animated when I think I might have mentioned this, but casually mentioned Mr. Menzies. Now, I must have been 12. I was lucky to get to 13. Because my grandmother put down her knife and fork, looked at me and said, don't you ever mention that man's name in this house again. And my grandfather was secretary of the Waterside Workers Federation. Never saw a Bible in my house, a lot of books about Russia. So when I went into the ministry, goodness knows what they thought. My grandmother started coming to church and I baptized her in her 70s. And then one day I was back at the end of my third year in college and I was back staying with them. And Pop, as I called him, was a very handsome man, actually. Reminded me a bit of Richard Widmark, you know, the famous actor from the old movies. And he had these gnarled hands from the wharfie thing, you know, that you picked up the bales. And he said to me, son, do you think I could become a Christian? Now, my grandfather was in his late 80s. I had never saw him pick up a Bible. I had never talked to him about God or faith or Jesus, but he knew I had an interest in that. And I said, "Yes, Pop." I said, "Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that he loves you?" And he looked me right in the eye with his beautiful blue eyes and said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Will you trust your life to him?" And he says, "I haven't got much left." I said, "Yeah, yeah, I know that." And in parentheses, I believe in deathbed confessions. Leave that stuff to God. Never be judgmental when former Governor General Bill Hayden decides to come back to his faith in Christ. And people say, "Oh, well, he's old. What do you think?" And so I grabbed my grandfather's hand and we prayed together. And I was breathless. Now, how did he get to know about Jesus? So I'm assuming he read more than I ever saw him do, that he listened more than I ever thought he would. But I think he caught it. He wasn't taught it. He caught it. And horror, 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 he caught it from me. For all the stupid, silly things you do as a kid and you were castigated for and you couldn't do, and he was good at mostly fixing things and I was good at mostly breaking things. Somewhere along the line, something has communicated itself that the most important thing in my life was the light of Christ. So whether you like it or not, folks, your light is shining. People will see you and in you, even in your weaknesses. When I first became a Christian, I was in the public service in Brisbane and I worked for the Lands Department. And I was a new zealotous, just made up a word, Christian. And I was out there to witness. And I learned all the scripture texts thanks to Kevin Crawford, who used to be down here. At the lake, and man, I was good, and I could hardly wait for morning tea to witness to those poor buggers. It was like they were having their tea, and they heard, "Here comes Jay," and then they made it. See, people will take the mickey out of you if they know you're serious about your faith, and so they had a couple of blokes there who were very funny, and they would tell dirty jokes. And because I was a righteous, godly person in those days, and before I became a Christian, I could tell a few too, but they would just, and I would be sipping my tea, and they would be telling these jokes, and they would be falling on the floor and spilling their coffee and their tea, and I'd be sitting there like the rock that I was. The worst part about it was, some of their jokes were really funny. Really funny. So I'm sort of sitting there, stern on the outside, but crying tears of funniness on the inside. Having said that, you know, I learnt from that. These guys accepted me as a new zealotous Christian. And I did my best by my witness. And then I read a book when I was in college called How Not to Be a Witless Witness. And I learned that believing that Jesus is the light, taking that light into your life, letting that light shine, being around the people of the light, gives you a sense of lightness that will show in your life to other people. So don't be so, pardon me, hard on yourself when you think you've let yourself down, you've let God down, you let faith down. And if you have, you ask for forgiveness and you move on with your life. Staying in the light is easy. That's, by the way, sharing the light. So you will share your light. The fact that you have been here celebrating the death and the resurrection and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose light is in your life, will make a difference wherever you go. In your decision making, in your attitude to people. I was a bit hard on a guy this morning coming here. I'm not a nervous person, but if I'm preaching, you know, I get a bit tense and tight. And this idiot pulled his truck out in front of me and then immediately dropped it from fourth gear to first gear. So he virtually stopped on as he came to the freeway. And then I started to say something. And I said, "Hey, lighten up, Jay. Do you want to be driving a fruit truck on a Sunday morning, taking a big load somewhere? Give him a break." That's because in my lightness of God, in my illumination of God, I also have an illumination to the human condition. And we have no right to make judgments about people, especially if they don't have the light that we have. And so, you know, being in the light is being here. And letting God and the people of God touch your life. It's a very important thing. Not growing up without a father, and not much of a mother. You know, I buried my mother a few years ago and I said she was a trying hard girl. And I was pleased she found Norm the Boofhead because she found what she always wanted. I don't know whether she ever found Christ. I kind of leave that up to God. But for me, knowing my presence away from some of those usual support systems meant that in the kingdom of God, in the people of God, the lighthouses of God. Gee, I love this lighthouse here. I remember when I first came to Wollongong. And now why is it on sometimes and off sometimes? Does anybody know the answer to that? You won't get kicked? No, nobody? Okay. Well, I always count the ships. And there were six out there last night. So, yeah, all right. Anyway, so the lighthouses that I have in my life are people like yourself. And I'll remember Beth Robinson's mother, who was a bit of a dragon lady, to be honest with you. She would occasionally take me in as a 23-year-old. Imagine sitting there in the church and listening to a 23-year-old guy who's just got his degree in theology, and these people have been around for 50 or 60 years thinking that he's going to say anything good. Well, there's a story in the Bible about God speaking to a donkey one time. It's called Balaam's ass. And I always take the view that God, and this is true now, you will take something from God today. His light will shine in your heart and mind of something I may have said or something I haven't said. You might go home and you think, why didn't Jay say that? That's the light. That's for you to deal with. So anyway, I'm running out of time. So the people of God is staying in the light, and that's very important. I can't tell you how important it is to be touching the flesh and giving a hug and a punch in the arm, whatever you do with the people of God. Makes a difference. And for me, that was my mentoring. You can have Christ as your mentor, but I'm telling you, if you don't see a bit of light in the lives of other people, and, you know, there were some unusual people, but God loves everybody. We can't all be the same. Final point. Get the light. What did I say? Get the light. You might be sitting here thinking, what's he talking about? I already have the light. In which case, you can go. But for some of us here, you may have turned the light off. Here's what I love about the Christian faith. This is why I'd never make a good Calvinist or a rabid Christian Reformed or Presbyterian, because I believe in the choices God gives us. Choose you this day who you will serve. and sometimes people through circumstances or hurt or indifference or drifting or making bad choices or making no choices. No choices. There's always the choice. So will you, my friends, as we come up and we're in Christmas, will you make sure that your light is from the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, that prophecy from Isaiah was from, well, depending on, you know, what commentary you read or what Google you read, is 2,000-3,000 years old. These people were expecting that the people who live in darkness will see a great light, and there's bits all over the prophecies of the Old Testament that talk about the light. So he is part of your life. And if he isn't, make a choice to do what my grandfather did and say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me and being my Saviour. I receive you as my God and my friend. Amen. Thanks for being with us this morning. And if you want to talk about that, I'm hanging around for a cup of coffee. Look, we're going to sing? What do we do? Oh, we don't sing? I'm going to pray, but so we, do we sing? No, that's all right. I'm new here. At home somewhere, I have a learner's plate, and I should have worn it today. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for loving us. And whatever dark clouds hang over us or descend upon us, may they be dissipated by the light of Christ and the love of God, who is our Saviour and our friend. Thank you for not going with us, but for leading us into your world, into your light.